you know, there's a line in the "A weary world rejoices." A thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. There's a lot of weariness that I'm aware of in people's lives right now. And I'm praying this morning that you're going to get that thrill of hope. Anybody need a thrill of hope? Just a couple of us. Okay. I think everybody needs that thrill of hope. You know, in planning these series that we do, I make a lot of notes. And I always search for illustrations and helpful ways of trying to get people to remember what is being taught. Whether that's a video clip or a prop or something that's funny or I don't know. And, you know, I had a talk planned this morning. I had something for you to watch. And I'm sure that would have been totally acceptable. But I've had a week of being inspired by people's stories of what God is doing in their lives. And on Wednesday night, I was at an event. It was run by a group called Believers in Recovery, and it was a testimony night, and three ladies were giving their testimonies. And the theme running through them all was along the lines of trading in their old life for a new one. Trading in your old life for a new life. And it got me excited, and I felt a prompt from the Holy Spirit, I think it was, to shelve what I had originally planned for this morning. And to speak a little bit more from my heart. Is that okay? So I'm going to pray again. And then together we're going to get straight to the point of this message. So Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts. I pray that you would stir us up. Lord, I pray that we would hear you speak. Lord, I pray that not one person would leave church this morning without knowing that they have met with you. Lord, give us that thrill of hope. Amen. Right, I'm going to put a verse up on the screen, which is it's from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. And it says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." His indescribable gift. I don't know why you've come to church this morning. I don't know why people turn up week on week. Maybe it's because you're in the habit of it. Maybe it's because you come to meet people. Maybe it's because you've got something to do here. I don't know. Maybe it's because you really want to meet with God. I hope so. But every time we meet, there is a spiritual dynamic to what goes on when we gather together. And it's an opportunity for us to bring an offering to God of ourselves. And he wants to give something of himself to you and to me. So get ready to receive it. Because I believe he wants to give gifts to us this morning. What are you hoping for? As you look forward to Christmas, what are you hoping for? You know, the theme of this whole series is it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is God's gift to us. I was going to do a whole thing about good and bad Christmas presents, which I'm not going to go into, or the gospel according to Jesus and the gospel according to Santa. We haven't got any kids in the room, have we? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake, because you only get presents if you're good, right? Well, that might be how Santa works, but that is not how God works. And the things that Santa gives us in our stockings are so temporary. Do you even remember what you got last year? Nobody remembers what they got last year. And that is not how God works. He doesn't give something which is temporary. He gives something which is eternal. And that's what he wants to give you and me. So, I mean, many of you know my story. I was brought up in a Christian home. I had lovely parents. I was brought up going to church, so I always felt like I knew about God. In many ways, it was an idyllic childhood. And yet, within me, I still felt that something wasn't right, and I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't feel right. I didn't feel like I was good enough. I didn't feel like I had any sense of significance about me. Everybody else was better than me. And even as a Christian, I became a Christian when I was 12 years old. That's the first time I invited Jesus into my life. And yes, he has completely changed me over the years from that person that I was back then to the person that I believe he has built me into today. Because, you know, no matter what your background, no matter if you've had a great background or a difficult background, we're all part of this fallen human race, aren't we? Even the best parents are not perfect parents. We get it wrong at times. I'm not saying I'm a perfect parent at all. We get it wrong at times too. So it's not just about how well you were brought up. And God wants to change every one of our lives, no matter what our backgrounds. He wants to change you. And I know he's changed me. And the thing that really changed me, as I've got to know him more, was understanding his love for me. We talked a lot about God's love at Christmas. His love in sending Jesus to die for us. And I'd heard about God. I heard about God's love all my life, growing up. And yet, I still was in a place where I didn't feel that lovable. And I struggled to accept that God could love me. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's how it was. And I remember going to a place called LL up in near Manchester. It was a place that many of us went up to do some training with back in the 90s. And I went up there for a worship weekend on one occasion. And part of the weekend was a session called Worshipping in Silence, which I thought was a bit of a cop-out for the person that was running the session. And we were all sent off, literally just to go off on our own, just be quiet, you're not allowed to talk, and see what God says to you. And I went away, and I walked, and I found myself by this river, and I sat on this bench overlooking this river. It was a perfectly lovely scene. Didn't feel very much, if the truth be told. Felt quite empty. I felt quite lonely. And then that evening, we were in a time of praise and worship. And as we were singing, it was like I saw myself from above. I saw myself from across the river. I saw myself sat on the bench, except I wasn't sat there on my own anymore. There was somebody next to me. There was somebody with their arm around me. And no words were being said. And what was powerful about that for me was it wasn't about anything that I had to do or to say in order to get God's affirmation and his love. It was a real sense of, Ollie, you are enough. I love you as you are. And, you know, after years of being a Christian, it was like the first time I really got it. I don't have to strive to be anything. I don't have to strive to do anything in order to get God's love. We get it. We get it. It's a gift. It's a gift. And it totally changed me. Totally changed me in terms of what I believed I could do as a result. Because I was doing it not out of a sense of trying to earn anything, but because I know that I'm loved. That changes you. You know, and for whatever reason, I struggle with this, but I don't understand why God has put on my heart a desire to work with people who are struggling with addiction. I mean, I had nothing to do with drugs growing up or alcohol. I came from a background where that just wasn't, it just wasn't an issue. It wasn't anything. And yet that's something that God has really stirred up in me. It's sort of driven my whole nursing career and what I've done in life. And even now, as a pastor, I still find myself drawn to those who are struggling with those particular issues. And I want them to know. I want them to know that there is freedom through knowing the love of God. Freedom through knowing Jesus. And I want to help them understand that God is not offering them just a handout. He's not offering them just a recovery program. Jesus isn't offering another opportunity for behavior modification. He's not offering a temporary relief from your issues. He's not offering you a place just to hang out for a day or two. His love is so great. His love is so powerful. He offers you and me a gift that is beyond description. In fact, when we first encounter the love of God, when you first get offered it, it is beyond your ability to really understand it. It's an act of faith to believe. But here's the gift. The gift is Jesus, God's gift to the world that first Christmas. But what it means in reality, when you get to know Jesus, when you understand the love of God, the gift is that it totally changes your life. Totally transforms what was to what God wants to be. God isn't offering the gift of a makeover. He's offering the gift of transformation. Transformation is written in our mission statement as a church, not just to introduce people to Jesus, but to see them transformed into those fully devoted followers of him. Now, if you're at church last week, you'd have met a couple of guys, Mikael and Wayne, who were both visiting us from a place called Battelle in Nottingham, which is like it's a drug and alcohol Christian community rehab situation. And Mikael was sharing a little bit of his story. And he said, at one time I thought I had everything, but something was always missing. I hear that a lot in people's testimonies when they talk about when they didn't know God. Something was missing. And nothing worked until I met Jesus. Wayne was telling me a little bit about his story over lunch last week. And he was saying that he's been part of Battelle now for 20 years. He's been 20 years clean. Before then, he spent over 20 years as a serious drug user, spending many times in and out of prison. He did a 9-year stretch in Dartmoor. You wouldn't think it looking at him last week, would you? Talking about what God has done through the work of Battelle and through what God is doing in his life. A totally transformed life. And you can see he brought his 14-year-old son, Aaron, with him. Aaron's part of their worship team at church. You can see the effect it has, not just on him, but on his whole family. The end point of my message this morning was going to be how we are offered this greatest gift, this indescribable gift, but we need to take it. We need to accept it. We need to receive it. We need to accept Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, i.e. whoever accepts this gift, will not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. And not just some pie in the sky life sometime in the future when we die, but life now, quality of life in the here and now. This is where it starts. I've known it in my life. I've known that change. But to be honest, what frustrates me a lot of the time, I don't see it enough. I don't see it quick enough in my life. I don't know about you. And I long to see it happening in so many other people's lives too, that total transformation. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and actually a lot of Christians who believe they have accepted Jesus. I call myself a Christian. And yet, life doesn't feel that much better. Life doesn't feel that much different. And when we don't see change, it can really get us down. And here's the issue. For many people, their old life before they met Christ doesn't look much different from their new life now they have met him. And God showed me one of the reasons why that is the case this week, I think. See what you think. Because it is not just about accepting the gift that God offers you. I'll explain. In Philippians 3, verse 8, this is what Paul says. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. You know, St. Paul had known a good education. He had good social standing and respect in his community. He had a successful career. And yet, when he met Jesus, everything changed. Nothing else compared to knowing him when he encountered the love of God, and his life changed radically. I love hearing radical stories of people who have become Christians from backgrounds which you would never believe. It's always a miracle when anybody becomes a Christian, no matter what your background. But when somebody is so broken, when somebody is so lost, and then God turns their life around, it just inspires me. It just excites me. It gives me that thrill of hope. And there was a lady that I was listening to on Wednesday night. She was called Mandy, and she had been clean 17 years, which was amazing when you hear her story, because she was telling her story, and she was telling us about her family situation. Her mother was a prostitute. Her father was one of her mother's clients, regular clients. Her grandmother was the pimp. The grandmother was taking the money for the people to come in and sleep with her daughter. That's what the situation was. She was brought up in that environment where she was abused from the age of 4 years old. She said by the time she was six, she had four clients of her own, which is just heartbreaking, isn't it? How do you escape that? Excuse my emotion. And her life was not good. And it was just another succession, really. She just carried on what she knew. And she used a lot of different substances to cope with what she'd been through. She became a prostitute herself. She ended up homeless at one point. She was in and out of Holloway Prison, she said, for 11 years every year. At some point in the year, she was always back in prison. And you think, how does that life change? How do you escape that? Well, she came out of prison on one occasion, and the first thing she did, like she always did, was she went to find a hit. She went to find some drugs. And as she was going along the street, she saw a man that she used to use with a lot of the time. So she went up to him and said, bring me in on the deal. What's the deal? And he said to her, Jesus. And she thought, what's he talking about? I mean, she had no awareness of God or anything. And this guy had become a Christian. His life was totally changed, and he invited her to the church that he went to. She thought it was some scam. She thought he was literally going to be thieving off these people, and she went along for the ride, really. And what she encountered when she went to church was love like she had never experienced. And she didn't trust it. She didn't believe it, because anybody in her life was not to be trusted. Anybody who came and approached her wanted to use her for something. So when people came up to give her hugs, when people came up to talk to her, her initial thought was, what do you want? What do you want? And for a long time that progressed, but she couldn't stop going. And at one point in one service, she decided to invite Jesus into her life, which she did. But she could not stop using drugs. And she said at one time she was in her kitchen at home and she was shouting at God. She said, I didn't know how to pray. Nobody taught me how to pray. But I was shouting at God, where is this new life that you said is mine? Because somebody at church had said that when you become a Christian, your old life is gone. The new has come. And she's shouting, where is this new life? Well, the very next day, she got accepted to a rehab where she went to detox. It was a Christian place. And she got free of drugs. And this woman now, you would not believe it. She goes back into Holloway Prison, sets up a church in the prison. Sets up all sorts of different groups in the prison. And then now, what she does for a living is she runs a whole, I think there's about three or four different rehabs in the London area that she oversees and that she runs. And this life is totally transformed. I think she talks about four children that she had. One of them died, but the other three were born addicted to heroin. All those children are now serving God. All those children have been reconciled to her, though she didn't have much to do with them for many years. It's an amazing story of what God can do in your life. Here's that verse, 2 Corinthians 5, Verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this, listen, is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. All of this is a gift from God The old life is gone, a new life has begun. In the Amplified Version, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakenings bring a new life. So what happens when you have that awakening, when you have that awakening to how much God loves you and how much God values you, it wakes you up and your life changes. It cannot stay the same. You know, one of the things that Mandy was saying was how that verse in the end became a lifeline to her, because every time she was confronted by an old behavior or an attitude, she had this rage in her she didn't know what to do with, obviously, about all the things that had happened to her. But every time it reared up and she didn't know what to do with it, she prayed, God, that is part of my old life. I'm giving it to you. Now you give me the new life. You give me your peace. And there was this exchange that happened. And it's the same for all of us. If you ever live feeling disappointed with your lot in life, if you resent the things that life has given you, it is never too late to literally give them to Jesus and take his life in return. Because to take hold of his life, and this is the point that I really want to make this morning, to take hold of his life, to live it, to experience it, you have to let go of the old. You have to offer back to him the old. Give him the old and take the new. On Tuesday at bingo, this is a little aside, Jan was putting lots of prezzies in my arms to bring into the hall for bingo. And it reminded me of Cracker Jack. Do you remember Cracker Jack all those years ago? And that game, I don't know what it was called, where they had to hold a cabbage. And then they were given the gifts, and if they dropped anything, they didn't get it. I don't know. I think so many of us, we're holding on to cabbages, and we're missing out on God's best, because we can't let go of the old. It's an exchange. God isn't wanting to give you something just to add to your life. He wants to replace it. Replace the old for new. There was another lady talking on Wednesday night, and she said, I used to be an adulterer, a liar, and a thief. And then she said these next words. She said, but that's not me anymore. I think too many of us, myself included, when I became a Christian, I still felt like I was holding on to the old feelings, the old thoughts, the old resentments, the old, I don't know. And I hadn't let go of them. I hadn't given them to God at that point, in order to take hold of the new. And yet, in Isaiah 61, we are promised beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of despair. There's an exchange. Do you see it? You get rid of the old stuff, the old way of doing things, and you take hold of God's new. There's a song we used to sing in church, and it was called A Beautiful Exchange. And here's the lyrics. It says, you were near, though I was distant. Disillusioned, I was lost and insecure. Still mercy fought for my attention. You were waiting at the door, and I let you in. Trading your life for my offenses, for my redemption, you carried all the blame. Breaking the curse of our condition, perfection took our place. When only love could make a way, you gave your life in a beautiful exchange. When only love could break these chains, you gave your life in a beautiful exchange. My burden erased, my life forgiven. There is nothing that can take this love away. And my only desire, my sole ambition, is to love you just the same. So it really echoes what St. Paul said in those words we read earlier, that in order to gain Christ, considered everything else garbage. What I thought was gain, I now count as loss. Instead of knowing Jesus, because that changes everything. He changes everything. So here's the question for you to consider this morning. Is what old things are you still holding on to? What old behaviors, what old attitudes are plaguing you? What old resentments are still eating you up and preventing you from accepting and holding and opening the beautiful gift that God wants to give you of a new life? In Acts 2, verse 38, it says that each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there has to be a turning away, which is what repent means. Turn away from the old stuff. Turn towards God. Turn away, let it go. Let go of the old. Take hold of the new. Take hold of what God wants to give you. The gift of his Spirit. He doesn't want you just to know about him. He wants to come and live in your life and through your life by his Spirit. Supernatural. Romans 5, 12 to 17 says that Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Don't you want to live in triumph over sin and death rather than just struggle through? And I'm not saying that when you come to Jesus, all your problems disappear, because that is not the case. But how we deal with them, how we cope with them, how we get through them when we have Jesus is completely different to how we did it before we knew him. Life is so different. I'm leaving you with a gift, says Jesus, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Accept the gift. Whatever you're hoping for this Christmas, whatever gifts you're expecting, don't miss out on the greatest gift, the greatest gift of Jesus. Because he wants to change your life. He doesn't want you just to carry on as life has always been. He wants to change you. Does anybody want that change this morning? Anybody? Loads of hands going up. I was feeling challenged to get you to come up to the front and I was going to pray for you, but that was practically the whole church. So... So, Beanie, why don't you come up with the band? And I want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you are so in the business of life transformation. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies that we can hear and read about, both in the Bible and, Lord, even right up to present day, of total transformation that you offer as we follow you, as we give our lives to you, as we let go of the old and take hold of the new. Lord, and I pray for everybody here this morning who put their hand up, whether that is for the first time to know you, Jesus, and to understand how much you love us, or just because we're just fed up, we're sick and tired of how things are, and we want life to be different. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to let go of the old, let go of those resentments, to give you those struggles that we have, those dark thoughts that plague us, and say, Lord, that is my old life. That's my old way of doing stuff. Lord, come and fill me. Give me the gift of your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh as I turn away from those things and turn to you. And Lord, would you come and fill my life and change my life that I might follow you more dearly. Amen. Let's stand together. We're gonna sing, but make this your faith declaration. Make it personal. Make this your time of really exchanging the old for the new.